Community action agencies are literally all across the country. It is one of the original soldiers that were enlisted by President Lyndon Johnson way back in the day in what the Lyndon then called the War on Poverty. And community action agencies literally are in every state, in nearly every part of the country. They're probably even in Alaska, right down the street from Sarah Palin. She don't know how to act. I know they're down in South Carolina, too, with that new U.S. senator who can't stand. But anyway, and they used to be called Community Action Against Poverty. Now it is Community Action of Greater Indianapolis. And one of the things community action agencies have authority over through federal law is the Energy Assistance Program, which this time every year people get all exercised. It's almost like the way CCDF, you know, is sometimes when they try to do the vouchers. In the House is Ed Tipton, who is the head of Community Action of Greater Indianapolis. Also Cheryl Shelton, Tangi Jackson Nibbs. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
What is Ed CAGES, and that's the acronym? What's your mission?
Our mission is to make people self-reliant and self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this through the programs that we provide.
Besides energy assistance, what are those other programs? At Foster Grandparents, the folks who were here on the program the other week, what are the other programs?
We have weatherization. And the weatherization program allows us to tighten up people's homes mm-hmm. to help them be more energy efficient, cut down on gas and electric bills, mm-hmm. and to make the house safer for people to live in. We also have a home repair program. Mm-hmm. The home repair program does the more substantial improvements on a home that are keeping the resident from being unsafe in the home, such as roof repair, furnace replacement, sometimes taking care of walls that are dilapidated, right. and things like that.
And the bulk of your funding comes from federal dollars. Is that fair to say?
The bulk of our dollars do come from federal dollars through Health and Human Services,
okay.
through HUD. Mm-hmm. So we've got a number of agencies that actually provide funding for the various programs that are segregated for each one of those programs.
And because you're getting Uncle's money, you're getting Brother Barack's money, then you got to follow the federal regulations, which sometimes are thicker than a phone book.
That's right. Many times.
Many times. In terms of energy assistance, it's fair to say that because of the Great Recession, more people are in need and the dollars are less. Is that fair? Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. And Amos, one of the other things that we're really seeing is that we see people who, if we could use the term, the new poor now, mm-hmm. people who have lost jobs, people who are underemployed now that are needing assistance, people who never thought they would need assistance in the past are coming to our doors now, people who say, I never even knew you existed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing them coming to our doors for assistance.
Is it that the need is so great that causes the lines, you know, when people starting to line up at 7 or 6 in the morning, and you have to go to a system of appointments where, you know, the appointments now are running towards Easter. Is it that the need is greater and the community doesn't realize it? All they realize is the person that needs the help is going for the help. They don't realize that they're part of thousands instead of hundreds.
It's partly that, and it is partly because we used to start our program in October mm-hmm. of each year. Last year and this year, we actually started our program in November.
Mm-hmm.
What we tried to do to make sure that we could
accommodate. Was that because the dollars had not been appropriated by what? Because, you know, Washington has not been acting, you know, straight. You know, they've been fussing, feuding, and fighting over it.
And that's it. We've been under continuing resolutions. And for people who don't know what that means, if new budgets are not passed, then Congress will go to the previous year's budget and, at least for a period of time, will operate under the auspices of that budget.
Do we need to worry about if we run off the cliff, what happens?
Well, that is a question that everybody's asking, and frankly, we don't know the answer to that at this time. What has happened is that even in this year, we actually got energy assistance funds in two separate increments. Mm-hmm. And so, which makes it a little harder to ramp up staff to be able to take care of clients. But one of the things that we have done to try to make sure that we can pace ourselves and still get the number of people taken care of that we need to is we've started making appointments. Now, Amos, you and I both remember that in the 70s and the 80s, people were lined up around the block.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do to combat that is to go to an appointment system. And that appointment system really has helped us to be able to normalize what we have. But we still get people who come in as walk-ins, and some of those people still do line up.
How do you explain to somebody? You know, intellectually, I understand the appointment thing. Intellectually, I understand that. But if I were sitting without anything and my utility is getting ready to get cut off, and I come to your door and you say, okay, make an appointment, but it is in February, I'm going to freak out. How do you explain that to the person that's got the need staring them in the face and you're telling them February and they're doing the mental math going, I don't think I got that many blankets in the house?
That's understandable, and that's a very good question. What we do in a case like that is we actually have what we call crisis funds.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are actually either disconnected now, or they have a disconnect notice to say your utilities are going to be shut off,
mm-hmm.
we try to take care of those people on a priority basis.
Right.
And we advertise that. We let people know that they can be some of the walk-in people that can get taken care of. But they have to let us know with their bill in hand that that is the case so that we know what that priority is and can take care of it.
Is there any consumer education with clients, particularly if they're a repeat client, to simply say, you know, if you were running up this bill in June, why did you wait till December the 18th or 19th to come see us? Is there, you know, is there consumer education built in this piece anywhere?
Really, it is. And a lot of times that is exactly what is given at the time the people come to our doors.
Mm-hmm.
We actually even have videos that tell people about what kinds of things we do, what they need to do, and we provide energy education for them to tell them about that. But a lot of times what happens is that that information is good and people are okay with it, and then they walk out the door, and then life happens.
I got phone calls waiting on. I'm going to take a break before I take the phone calls. I got to ask you all this question, this new wrinkle that's around here with the combined gas and water bills, but water bills are not anywhere on the list of where you can help with energy assistance funds. Is that as confusing to your staff as it is to the consumer out here as to what you gonna handle and what you aren't?
Well, we kind of got a precursor to what was happening with the combined bill.
Did you try to talk? Did y'all try to talk them out of this because you knew this was gonna be a train wreck?
Well, you know, we have to only be able to deal with what we can deal
with. I understand.
And I'm sure that as the gas company tried to put everything together to make things work as efficiently as possible for them, this is the loose solution that they came up with.
Right.
And so we stay in our lane and we operate how we can.
Are you nervous, though, that the way they're accounting for these bills, you could maybe accidentally make a payment on behalf of one of your clients for gas, and they misapply some of those payments to water, and then y'all get dinged by the federal auditor come in there, and you all might get dinged for something you didn't do that the gas company did or the citizens did?
Now, well, we're not really afraid of that, but I've got my team with me here, and I can.
Yeah, because when they were on this program and when this question was raised by listeners, I got confused as to how they were handling it. And I know that community action agencies, particularly because in the 70s, the old Community Action Against Poverty got dinged by Uncle Sam for not keeping dollars in the correct pots of money. And I know as an agency at Tipton, you all are very sensitive to that. And that's why I was worried about that, because if they had me confused sitting in the seat, Cheryl, where you're sitting, is like, what's going to happen out here?
Well, one of the things that we noticed is that You know, yes, we do have some of the customers that's coming in that's a little bit confused, so we try to give them a little more education on it. But we really lean towards our partner with Citizens and trying to help have them give up some more information. Some things a little bit out of our control. Once we go and apply the benefit according to the rules, the rest of it is Citizens policy.
Okay.
So they will apply it across the board, and that means it may be applied a portion of it to Citizens, to the gas bill as well as the water and the sewer. So at that point, the ball is actually in Citizens' court.
It's in their court. So you tell the auditors, go see them. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We'll open up your calls. Always send me an email at praisenew.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. The Citizens Action is here. We'll talk to them after the break. Okay, to the phones. Let's start with Charity. Hi there.
Hi there, Amos.
Hi. What's up?
I'm so glad that you finally were able to get Community Action to come on your show. I talked to you about a month ago about their weatherization program, and I have been on the list for home repair. They say it takes 12 to 18 months. Well, I'm in month 13. They gave me a man's name of Rich Jones to call to see when they would be coming out to assess my property. And they've never called. You can't get a return call. You can leave all the voicemails you want to. I've left hundreds probably. And right now at this point, my roof is leaking. I got water just raining down in the basement from a pipe that's busted in a wall. And I got dangerous electrical problems going on. I can't get an answer from them for anything.
Well, I think you got some answering people here. Who wants to start with Sister Charity?
Okay, I'll start with this, Amos. It is true that we have a need out here in our community that is overwhelming compared to the capacity that we have to serve it. And we probably have between 5 and 6 times the number of people calling in for assistance as we have funding to deal with it. We try to take care of situations on a priority basis, but because we have limited funding and because we have so many people out here in terms of the number of households that are in disrepair, that are aged, and what have you, that it is very difficult for us to be able to get back. We have very little administrative funding, so we can't man a phone bank for weatherization to be able to answer every single call. That's why sometimes it takes an extraordinary long period of time for us to get back to you. We do what we can with the amount of funding that we have, and we try to answer as many of the calls as we can. But truly, we're only getting sometimes up to 30 or 40% of those clients who need help called back to at least even tell them something. But we try to take that money and use it as efficiently as we possibly can to be able to take care of the need. In other situations, we have houses that are in such disrepair that the total amount of money needed to repair them is so far beyond what we can do that we have to do what we call a deferral and tell the client that they have to take care of some of these problems themselves. And we know that that is a hard thing for a client to take in terms of hearing that message. But if we can't do something to actually make a difference in that home, a lot of times we're unable to actually provide assistance. But we do try to get back to as many people as we can.
All right. We need to get Charity's information. We can share it with staff. Charity, if you will hold on and give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, we'll give it to Ed Tipton and Cheryl and Tanji with the Community Action staff and one of the staffers.
I'm a tenant and I was eligible for what they call their WX program with my landlady. And I can't pay for what my landlady is 80-something. I'm a senior citizen. And as I said, it's a pretty critical situation where I am. And just no response. So I will give Chris my information.
All right, hold on, and they will get back to you, okay? That'll allow me to talk while Chris is doing that. Allow me to talk to William at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, happy belated birthday to you, Amos.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got two comments. I dropped a person off up there, and she was a senior citizen, and she handicapped. And she had to wait to a proper time, you know, to go, you know, to get situated there, and she still didn't get situated. And my other comment here is this: that police officer up there, that's he is kind of, I mean, I don't know who, he don't have the you know, the compassion to be waiting on people, and I mean, he's snatching and talk to people pretty rough up in there, and but I don't know why that. Do y'all have the senior citizens and the handicapped, you know, to do their processes, their gas and lights first, or I just don't know, whoever shows up? I just listened to your answer on that.
Well, hold on. When you talk about this police officer, which location, up on 46th?
No, up on 3266.
On 3266, and is this an Mary. Indianapolis police officer?
He's in a police black uniform, a blue uniform, dark blue uniform, whatever.
All right. Ed Tipton, you know, why would any police officer, whether they were working part time or working on regular duty, you know, be disrespectful to anyone?
And we try to make sure that we monitor that so that we don't have that happen. I'm not sure of that particular situation, so I'm unable to speak to that situation within itself. But we monitor pretty regularly what our officers are doing, how they're responding to people. And we have a supervisor of our police officer corps that we actually address complaints to, and he takes care of those things. And sometimes if it's necessary to remove an officer, that will be done. We haven't had to do those kinds of things because generally we've had a pretty good response from the public for the officers that we have on duty. But now your caller asked two questions, and that second question actually dealt with someone who was handicapped or being dropped off.
Hi, William. I'll answer that question. That's a very good question. We do, in the past, we did send out 10,000 mail-in applications to our elderly and disabled clientele so they wouldn't have to come and stand in line. For those individuals who had a disconnect or their services were disconnected, then we also have disabled or elderly that can go to our 46th Street location, and they can go in and walk in during 1:30 to 3:30 and not have to wait in the line. We actually have a separate area where they will go to, and we'll be able to assist them. If they come to the Meridian Street location, we don't necessarily have a disabled clientele. What we do is they can come in, and in the past, they've been able to walk in the morning, and we schedule them an appointment to be seen at a later date. But we do try to take care of our elderly population, which is one of the reasons why we start sending out mail-in applications back in October for them.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's Amos. Let me go to Brenda, then we'll take a break. Hi, Brenda.
Hello, Amos.
Hi.
I want to wish you a happy belated birthday, too. I tried to get in yesterday, but I couldn't.
Thank you. Thank you.
And honest, I don't even believe that you have the people that you have there today.
Well, they're here.
They are hard to get a hold of. They manage a property that I live in, the Franklin School Apartments. They're familiar with them.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the energy part, they have always been nice to us. And I want to thank them for the wonderful box that we received this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that I have enjoyed living in the property at the Franklin School Apartments. The only complaint that I have is we can never get a hold to anybody down there. People from here have wrote them and asked them to come over, and we used to have meetings with them quite often when I first moved in 2004. After 3 years, we can't get a hold of anybody over there to come out and talk with the residents here. Now, the one thing that they did when they renovated this property and made them apartments, on the new side where they have all the windows, they should have put in a recess wall around those windows and put in that insulation, because in the wintertime, the walls on that one side that has all the windows. Man, it is really cold, and it really, you really work fighting to try and stay warm in the building. Now, I know somebody must have been in a hurry to get it renovated and all like that. But the problem we have now is, you know, over on the side that is the historical site, they haven't had any heat over there in the halls.
Ooh.
I'd say for the past 5 years.
Wait, five
and
years?
Trying to get somebody from there to come over here and talk with the residents, the ones that have been here supporting this building, because I've been here 8 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And I love my place. It's big. It's roomy. But that's a problem.
And so what's the apartments are called what?
Franklin School Apartments, 28th and Capitol.
All right, Franklin School Apartments. Ed Tipton, Franklin School Apartments, is they looking for some love. They're looking for somebody from Community Action to come over and see them and talk to them and give them the right hand of fellowship.
Well, we're going to do exactly that. I'm not aware of the problems that you have alluded to, but we will check this out. We do a regular monitoring of the apartments. We have to do that to keep up with compliance issues in regards to the regulations that we abide by to have the apartments. But we will check this out, and we will come and give you a visit.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Namus. We're here with Ed Tipton, Cheryl Shelton, Tangi Jackson Nibbs with Community Action of Greater Indianapolis. While we've been having this discussion, the new governor, Governor-elect Mike Pence, has named some more people to his administration. He named the former sheriff of Hamilton County, Doug Carter, to be the new superintendent of the state police. He found another Carter. Rob Carter will continue as the director of the Department of Natural Resources. Jeff Cardwell, who is a member of the City County Council, will be the executive director of the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives. Does that mean you got to quit the council? Got to find out about that. Whether you can serve, can you serve two masters? He will also, Jeff Cardwell, be a member of the governor's cabinet. Dax Norton will be the director of community and rural affairs. They also named some guy named Zach Jackson as the deputy budget director. Ryan Streeter will be on the policy team as senior economic policy director. Christy DeNault, who was handling press for Mike Pence during the campaign, will be communications director. And I went through all of this to get to the big news of his appointment. The governor-elect has named Kara Brooks as press secretary. Now, some of y'all might remember Kara Brooks from Fox 59 News. And I am 90% sure Kara Brooks will be the press secretary. That's the day-to-day spokesperson for the next governor. And I believe this will be the first African-American ever as the lead press secretary to an Indiana governor ever. Evan didn't do this.
Sure didn't.
Joe, Frank O'Bannon, love him dearly. He didn't have no color, you know, as the press secretary. Joe Kernan didn't. Mitch didn't, Bob Orr didn't, Doc Bowen didn't, and don't even worry about it before then. Boy, Mike Pence be surprised if he had named a brother named Virgil Madden last week, named Kara Brooks this. That's two in his That's two, and he's not finished yet. Okay, now he is conservative. He did say that, so just keep all that in mind. Anyways, After News with Amos after these. Welcome back, 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. So I got to ask you guys this. And there's income levels. Mitt Romney cannot get energy assistance. Reggie Wayne cannot get energy assistance because it's income-based, it's percentage of poverty. What happens if somebody's doing legitimate work, but they're paid off books, they're paid in cash, they're paid on a 1099, maybe they're paid that way and they'll get a 1099 at the end of the year. And Tangi Jackson Nibbs, you were telling me during the break that in terms of income documentation, you guys want to see what it is on a monthly basis or a check stub basis, not from a W-4 from a yearly basis. Is that correct?
That's correct.
First of all, why the monthly basis?
If it's Social Security, we need to see the monthly basis because of the increase that they received back in January 2012. It was a 3.6 percent increase. Mm-hmm. We need to see that. And this year in January, starting 2013, they received a 1.7% increase. So in order for us to properly calculate that income, we don't want to give them too much income. So if they got the increase for 2013, we need to go back 12 months to calculate their income. So in order for us to do that, we need to see what they received on a monthly basis. Now, that's Social Security.
Has it been a problem where people come, Cheryl Shelton, to apply for assistance and they run into a problem because they are being paid on a cat, the work they're doing, and also say it will be that they're doing legitimate work, they're being paid off books, or they're being paid on a cash basis?
Well, we do
and
have.
And they can't document what they work because they just, you know, whoever they're working for, say, here's your pay envelope, here's the money, God love you.
Well, we do have a form. It's called a zero income form that they have to complete, and because they're living some kind of way, whether someone is supporting them or whatever that may be. It may be through cash, but we still have to document that, and they have to put that in that form, and we have that available, you know, as far as they could, when they come in, they can fill that out, and we'll take it from there.
Documentation is important in this. It's part of the reason because you're playing with uncle's money.
It is. It is extremely important. And unfortunately, sometimes we have a lot of, fortunately, we do have clients that really follow the list of items that we need to process their benefit and their application. However, we do have a pocket of individuals that will come in just by themselves. They won't even have their ID. Some of them may not even have a bill, and it's utility assistance. And that's really frustrating because someone else could have had that spot. And that appointment could have been taken up with someone that does have all those documents. So it puts us at a disadvantage.
239-1310. And you got to have all the documentation, which includes?
Well, it includes the household verification, your Social Security card for everyone in the household, driver's license or state ID for the members 18 and older. We have, of course, you know, your utility bill. You know, that's why we're coming for assistance. And then the current lease, if they're renting, we need that as well. And we need to verify. And that's some of the areas that we're running into. People's lease are not current. And they're like, well, I don't need to get it updated because it's revolving. Right. And so we have to kind of work out those issues as well. And then, of course, your income verification.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon, his name is back to the phones. And Evelyn, hi there.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just want to say happy holidays to everyone, and I have an easy question.
Okay.
I just wanted to know what age do they consider elderly?
Great question. You're talking elderly. What age is that?
60 years and older.
Anyone at the under 60, are they eligible to come now and still apply for energy assistance?
Yes, ma'am. That's a very good question. They can still apply for energy assistance. We do have open appointments on our website. They can go to www.cagi-in.org, and they can go in and look for a date. They need to make sure that they choose the location where they currently live in, so that county. We do have 10 different locations, counties across the state, that they can receive energy assistance in, but you need to reside or live in that county. So if you live in Marion County, you cannot go out to Boone County to try to get energy assistance, even though there may be an open appointment there. And that's what some of our clients have been doing. And then when they get out there, we really can't service them because out in Boone and Hamilton County, they may not have IPL or Citizens Gas. They normally have Duke, Veteran, or Lebanon utilities. So it's a difference, utility companies. And so you may be able to go out there, but you probably won't be able to get service as well as you would if you come in Marion County.
Ed Tipton, you talked earlier about the need growing, the new poor folks have not been on this. Is that taking dollars away from needy folks in Marion County because you only have X amount of dollars? You're in 10 counties, 9 in Marion County plus 9 others. As those numbers have grown in the out counties, is that reducing the amount potentially available for folks in Marion County? Because the money it's a pot of money. It's not geographically divided, correct?
That's right. And what we really have in terms of Marion County is such an overwhelming population that is in need.
Mm-hmm.
The number of people in our outer lying counties are ones that don't compare in terms of total numbers to what we have in Marion County. So we're still able to take care of a proportionate share of people in each one of the outlying counties. And those counties really that we really deal with on a regular basis are Boone, Hamilton, and Hendricks outside of Marion. And so with those, Marion County really gets the lion's share of those dollars, and we're not keeping them from getting what they need at all.
Back to the phones, and Eva, hi there.
Hi, how are you, Amos?
Fine.
And hello to your guest. I just have one question. Mine was a mail-in, and I mailed it in over a month ago, and someone called me, but they said I would not to call them back, so I haven't heard anything, and I just want to know if I'm yet eligible because I didn't mail it in.
So wait a minute.
They requested.
So you mailed everything? You mailed it in?
Yes, I did.
Then someone called you?
Yes.
Didn't leave a name?
No.
How do you know it was from them? You still got it on your call?
No, I'll take that back. Yeah, they did tell me, but they went real. As a matter of fact, I called you before this, and you said they was coming. So this is why I'm asking. I just want to know if I'm yet there, if I can yet get my money.
How long ago when did they call?
It's been over a month.
You still got the number on your caller ID?
Oh, heaven no. What? Well, they told me not to try to call back.
Well, just because they said you didn't have to call back, you got the caller ID?
Yeah, I have a caller's ID, but I don't have it on there.
Oh.
I understand all of that, but
we'll find out.
I mean,
I tell you what I want you to do.
Can we believe them or not?
All right, Eva, I want you to hold on, I want you to. Chris is going to pick the phone back up. I want you to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. If somebody called her, Cheryl, why would they have said don't call back?
I don't know. That's not our policy.
That don't ring a bell.
No, all right. But we will make sure that, Miss Eva, you'll get a call back and your status will be given to you when we call as well.
All right, let me go to Vanessa at 239-1310. Hi there. Vanessa?
To basically say thank you so much to Community Action. I've actually received assistance through a number of their departments. I was actually on Disconnect, and they were able to get my lights on. Not only that, but I've worked with their housing counseling department, and they were superb. I received a modification for my home. So, I mean, I just want to say thank you so much. I sent in a letter. I don't know if they received it, but I'm just nothing but grateful for Community Action for assisting me, because right now I think me and my kids would be out of a home if it wasn't for Community Action. Not only that, but I work with, I think her name is Johanna or Joanna, with the financial literacy. She got me and my budget together. Mm. I mean, I know I've heard all the other callers, but I personally want to say thank you so much, because your program is working for some people. So I just really want to say thank you so much for your help.
Ed Tipton, what is this program that helps with modifications?
Yes, we're so busy talking about weatherization and energy assistance. Some of these others get kind of lost in the shuffle. We have a very good housing counseling program that helps people who are in foreclosure be able to get the kind of assistance they need. Not only the education that gives them the financial knowledge that they need to be able to proceed forward, but they can also take a look at their particular situation and see just how we might be able to work with the bank or the mortgage company to be able to do what is called a modification on their homes. And my resident expert is sitting right across from you. Her name is Cheryl Shelton, and she can tell you all about this.
She done blushed. How long has this program been going on?
We've been involved with the Indiana Foreclosure Prevention Network.
This is part of the foreclosure, the 1-800 get help, yes. Get help, get
yes.
help.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. We've been involved with them for the last 4 years, but we've been a HUD-approved counseling agency over the last 10 years. And we're excited about it because we're helping a lot of people. We also go with them to court when they have settlement conferences, mediation hearings, where they're facing a sheriff's sale, and we're able to stop some of those sheriff's sales due to submitting the packages in. And the most important is a lot of the unemployment people who are on unemployment that are getting ready to, you know, they're facing foreclosure. The hardest hit fund that the state has is a great resource that they pay their mortgage up to $18,000 while they're on unemployment.
So in order, I don't want to overload your phones any more overloaded than they are, but these are people that go through the regular 1-877-GET-HOPE.
Yes, and then they will be referred. To the different agencies.
Before I go back to the phones, can't y'all get a government grant to invest more in your phones or rent some phones during energy assistance season? Because they tell me people can get the President of the United States on the phone and Mitt Romney on the phone than getting a hold of people at Community Action.
Amos, you know, we've really even totally discarded an old phone system and employed and actually implemented a new system, brought that system in, and seemed to be working just fine. We tested it this past summer and did a lot to make sure that we could have the capacity to handle the calls. We got something like 16,000 calls in one month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just don't expect for that kind of overload, even when you get T1 lines. Or,
right. Yeah, the big capacity, the high capacity,
high capacity piping. Mm-hmm. To be able to accept the call. So we're really working hard to try to do this. We've even gone to a third-party provider to be able to help us with that, and that has yielded some phenomenal results for us. But we still just get an overwhelming number of calls. But we're really working hard at that.
Back to the phones. And Cindy, hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I am calling from my aunt. And this is related to what the caller said about getting a call. My aunt had an appointment in October. She didn't have a current lease, and she left. I drove her back to her house to get her currently, she came back and she submitted all of her information to the lady at the front desk on 46th Street. Well, she hasn't heard anything. And then about 4 weeks ago, she got a call saying that her information was received. There was no need to call back. And then she will receive a letter in the mail within 3 weeks. But yet she still hasn't received anything.
And did she save the number on caller ID?
No, she didn't save the number, but it's a recording that calls and says that you know, we've received your information. Don't call back. You will receive a letter about the status of your
So this is a robocall.
It's a robocall, but it doesn't. It notifies everyone that we received a letter that come in. It's not somebody just calling you saying about the face to, you know, over the phone type of call. What we do is we receive the value. We received over 2,500 mail-in applications,
right.
So we made sure everyone got some type of notice of what's going on with their application, just to let them know it's being processed. Like the school when they notify you, those kind of things.
If the recording says you'll get a letter in 3 weeks and it's now been five,
then that's an issue we need to address. So
I tell you what, Cindy.
Yes.
I want you to hold on. Now, you're calling on behalf of somebody, right?
I'm calling on behalf of my aunt, yes.
Okay, so what I want you to do, I want you to hold on, and I want you to give first your name, then give your aunt's name, then a number where either you and your aunt, get both sets of numbers where you can be reached during the day and your aunt can be reached during the day.
Okay.
And then they'll follow up with you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Hold on, then allow me to talk to Mary at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. I was calling. I have a question also. I'm a senior citizen, and I turned my application in on October the 23rd.
Ooh.
And I haven't heard anything from anyone, and I've called about 7-8 different times.
And you didn't even get the robot calling you.
No, sir, I didn't.
All right.
And I've been calling numerous times, and I left my name and phone number, and I haven't heard from anyone yet.
All right, Mary, and I know you live in Marion County, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, Mary, I want you to hold on while I go to the break. You know, Chris is going to put you on hold, and he's going to pick up, and I want you to give your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is We'll Take a Break. We're learning all kind of things. Mm. That they got a robot.
A robot.
That sits around all day and call you just to say, we got you. Well, that's better than not telling you you didn't get anything.
Right.
But then Mary didn't get the robot and left Mary off the list. And I know the postal carrier delivered the mail because I'm not going to throw any letter carrier under any bus at this time of year because they're doing Santa's work. And, all right. So all you great letter carriers, anyway, it's Afternoons with Amos. We'll have more with the Community Action folks after these. All right. Community Action is in the house. Back to the phones. And Vicki, hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I got a question.
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
I'm sitting here listening to the show.
Uh-huh.
And I understand about the energy assistance program. The young lady that's on the show, and I apologize because I really didn't. I can't remember her name. But here's my thing.
Yeah.
When you go down, the people that you have working energy assistance, they're rude. They're rude to the people. And I heard you just say that people stand in line, and when they get up there, they don't have all their information. And then you made a comment that it's kind of like a waste because you guys could have helped somebody else. But how about the people that stood in line all that time to get up there and be denied? And then you also just, the first elderly lady that just called, and said she got the phone call, but Amos, you kept asking her, well, do you have it on your caller ID? And she said no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the lady in your studio, you never once stepped up and said that you guys have generated calls until this next lady just called for her auntie and said she got the same call, and it was a generated call. So my question is, I mean, it's just hard times out here, but if the supervisors don't have a little bit more compassion for our elderly, then the people in your office, they're not getting it at all. And I'm sitting here listening to this.
All right, Ed Tipton.
Well, we really try to be courteous to all of our callers. And believe it or not, I get a lot of calls. And as I get calls, the information that I get from the callers that I require from the callers first is their name and their number. If someone is coming in to our offices, we actually have a check-in desk where we are at that point of entry making sure that that client either has all their documentation. If they don't have all their documentation, what is missing, what they need to do, and how they need to come back and see us or set another appointment for us to be able to take care of them. The last thing that we would want to have is a client not being able to be serviced because they don't have all of their documentation. We're taking care of thousands of people. So the last thing we would want to do is to keep from taking care of someone because their information is incomplete. So we try to do everything, including in our mail-in packets, having a list of all the documentation that's needed. Somebody calls in, we let them know what the documentation is. We put it on our website. We try to do in every media that we can possibly give them the information that they need so that they can come prepared to be able to get the benefit that they really need at the time.
239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones. And Cassie, hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
I wanted to know more. I called the energy assistant, the location on 42nd or whatever in Keystone, and the lady told me I was inquiring about the weatherization program. I made an appointment, and she gave me the appointment, and I told her that I wasn't going to be able to keep it. So I called back and changed it, and she told me that somebody would get in contact with me. Well, a young lady did call me, and she told me that I signed up for the energy assistance, and she said that she hadn't received my paperwork for my energy assistance. Well, I did my energy assistance at a community center, and she said it might take a couple of days or whatever for her to get that. It's been like 2 months ago, and she hasn't even called me back.
What community center did you fill out the paperwork at?
At the Hawthorne.
At Hawthorne Community Center?
Yes.
Did you keep copies of the paperwork?
Yes, I have it. I've actually received my assistance for my utilities already.
Okay.
So I'm sure that they should have received, you know, paperwork saying everything was good with
so
that.
Now you applied for two different things, energy assistance and weatherization, is that correct?
Right, but they told me that I couldn't get the weatherization unless I was eligible for the energy assistance.
Okay, so you got the energy assistance, correct?
Right.
You're waiting on a decision on weatherization?
Right, and she never called me back to say that she received my paperwork.
Okay, and would that be the same paperwork, guys?
Amos, there was another organization that got some funding for energy assistance, the Bonner Center.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone went to that particular location.
Well, she went to Hawthorne on the west side.
They have some satellite sites as well.
Okay.
And so that may have been that particular organization's energy assistance program that is separate from ours. And so possibly to call back there and find out what may be happening with that paperwork.
Both weatherization and energy assistance?
I'm not sure if the Bonner Center, at one point they did have some weatherization dollars, but I don't know if they still do or not. But
you all can check in your system to see whether she's in the system for weatherization, wouldn't it? No.
If she went and got her application processed as John H. Bonner, the only thing...
No, she didn't do it yet. John H. Bonner. Ma'am? Is any of your documentation have the words John H. Bonner Center on it?
No, it was through the Hawthorne, but my energy, this weatherization situation, it started over the summertime, and I had already signed up for my Winergy assistance for 2011. I got the summer assistance and the winter assistance, and that's when after that I signed up for the weatherization with the whatever this place is, CAGI or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So she told me that if I signed up for the winter and the summer, then I would be eligible for the weatherization for the home.
And the person that told you this was at a CAGI office or at Hawthorne?
Yes.
Which,
at the CAGI office.
Which office?
On 42nd Street, I believe it is.
Okay.
46.
And when was that?
When was that, ma'am?
It was like probably 2 to 3 months ago.
Then you ought to be in the system somewhere.
Well,
she told me that she was going to call me back.
Did she ever give you?
Heard anything.
Did she ever give you a name?
You know what? I lost my paperwork that I wrote her name down on.
But one of the things is it Cassie?
Cassie.
One of the things that we could check is, you know, with the funding that we have two different program years. So we want to make sure that when you applied, if it was last year's funding year, we want to make sure that it was underneath our agency. Now, this year, of course, started for November from 2012 to 2013. That's considered the 13 program year. So if you came in and applied for energy assistance and you're inquiring about last year's funding, then we could probably pull you up. But if you apply this year at Hawthorne, then that's under a different service provider.
When did you apply at Hawthorne?
Probably about a month ago or so.
So that would be under different?
That would be under different.
That's confusing because in the mind of the average person, they're thinking energy assistance is all one big pot of money. And in on one sense it is, but it's got different providers. Cassie, I want you to hold on. I want you to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
Okay.
All right. That'll allow me to talk to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I've got a question I want to ask. We had the weatherization blown in It was back in the 90s. 2 years ago, we've been trying to get them to come out to the house because it's falling down in the closet. So the guy who was in charge last year, he kept promising he was coming, and he never would show up.
What was his name?
The man who's in charge now, he has his position now. I can't think of it. It might be Dave or something.
And what office he work in?
He was working in right there on Meridian Street. We went to see him personally, and he promised us personally I would be out there. And we waited the whole day, and he never came.
But wait a minute. When did he promise you this?
Promised us when they were still on Meridian Street.
Was that this year or last year?
That was the whole year he was in.
But wait a minute. Was that 2012, 2011, 2009? What year are we talking about?
2011.
Okay, well, this is almost 2013, and you don't remember his name?
I thought his name was Dave. He's a, okay, this guy who's in charge, I talked to him about 2 months ago. And
which guy that was in charge? Now, we got another guy involved. Well, do you know his name?
Did he represent himself as weatherization director?
Okay, I think I went up on the fourth floor of Meridian at 32nd and Meridian. You go up there and there's a receptionist.
Yes, probably okay. Rich yeah. Jones.
Yeah.
Could his name have been Rich Jones?
Was his name Mr. Jones?
I can't remember. He's a thin-built Caucasian. Might have an accent.
Y'all got to learn, folks, y'all got to learn, write these names down.
Well, anyway, my sister called last month, and we're supposed to talk to Reginald Jones.
Ah.
My question today is, what do you do when you blew in the paper insulation, all that shredded stuff, and it starts falling down?
All right. And yeah, wait a minute. Hold it. And the paper stuff was blown in 10 years ago, correct?
Yes, they told, this is what he told me. He said, man, we need to find out the year that we did it. So then we went to our community action neighborhood, found out the year that we did it because they painted the house. Then he said, we have to Xerox the paperwork is down in Memphis. We need to, you know. Then he said, we need to find out who the auditor was that did the job, that did the approval.
All right. Hold it. I'm going to let Ed Tim to respond because the looks on the folks here from Community Action faces is this is something that needs some research. This needs a little Columbo detective work.
Right. Now, here's what we really can do. It sounds as though we have a number of things that are going on here, and we need to probably sort those things out. Number one, anytime we put insulation into a home for no more than 5 years, up to 5 years, we're not able to go back to that home and do anything more to it. After a period of 5 years, we can't guarantee what is happening because if a roof leaks or something else happens that causes insulation to start falling out of a wall, then it sounds like we've got more problems than just weatherization problems. What we can do is if you could give Amos your name and number and your address, we could research the situation, see what's going on, and we could probably get back to you and try to see what we can do.
All right, so Anonymous, what I want you to do off the air, I want you to hold on, and Chris is going to pick up the phone. He's the gentleman that you talked to when you called me. If you would be so kind as to give Chris your name, your address of where this facility, this house is, and a number where you can be reached during the day, they can start the research, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, so hold on. That'll allow me to talk right quick to Tracy before we take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. I went over to the Community Action Center here at 3266 Meridian, and they told me to come one day, and I went over there and I got all the information. I brought all my information back about a few days later, and a police officer told me that they wasn't taking any more, people in there for the day, and that they didn't have any more funding and gave me an application. And then a lady was standing there, an African-American lady, older lady, with medium hair length to her shoulders, and she was just looking at me, and I was like, why is she just looking at me like that? Because I would thought she would have told me what she told me instead of the Indianapolis Police Department guy telling me that.
So you came with all your paperwork ready to rock and roll, and they told you no more applications today, or that they had run out of money?
They ran out of money, and he gave me an application to fill out. And then I would like to bring the application back because you can't even hardly read what it says.
When did you go? When did this happen?
That was over a month ago.
All right, so you never went back with the paperwork you already had?
Well, they said they didn't have any more funding, so why am I going to go back if they don't have any funding?
All right, hold on. We're going first of all, y'all got any money left?
Yes, we do.
All right, so the first question is, they got money left, so what do we do with Tracy?
Well, I mean, Tracy, we could probably just take your name and number, and then we can work out a time for you to come in and bring those documents in. Only thing I can do at this point is apologize because that, for one, the officer is not even privy to those type of information as far as funding for him to give out that type of information is really incorrect. So, again, I have to apologize if that was the case. But going forward, let's try to get you your situation resolved.
All right. So, Tracy, I want you to hold on. I want you to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, and they'll follow up and they'll get you in there, okay?
Okay, because I got all my information.
If you got all your information, somehow I got the feeling you got all your information and then some. I got that feeling. I just feel that with the Christmas spirit. Okay,
yeah,
so hold on.
Yeah, I do.
All right, Tracy, hold on and give that information to Chris off the air. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our many moments with Community Action. We're learning a whole lot of stuff today. It's After News with Amos. After the president, you know, made his statement about, you know, he's told the vice president he's got to get his act together, come with some proposals that they can make into legislation to reduce the level of violence in our nation and have it done by January. Then he took some questions from the media, and the media all asked, are we going off the fiscal cliff? And the president patiently explained his position and tried to help Speaker Boehner out. And then Speaker Boehner got mad, called a press conference, lasted 55 seconds. That's not a press conference. That's not even a statement. That's a drive-by. We're trying to eliminate violence in America. So somebody tell Speaker Boehner, we don't need drive-bys. We need explanation why y'all can't come to the table. Because we don't want agencies to go off the fiscal cliff and all your utilities get cut off. Maybe that's what the Mayans were talking about. They weren't talking about the end of the world. They were talking about the fiscal cliff. That's what the Mayans were talking about. It's After News with Amos after these. Next week, I finally got my agent to do some decent things. So we are not here Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or the day after Christmas. It'll be the best in gospel music right here on AM 1310 The Light. We will be live. Our last two shows of 2012 will be next Thursday and Friday, the 27th and 28th. Then we are not here on New Year's Eve. We are not here on New Year's Day. Best in Music. But our first show for 2013 will be Wednesday, January the 2nd, 2013. Got a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. They said, this shows why it's hard to even help people as they do not write down names, dates, addresses, or phone numbers. This is silly. Got an email from Yolanda at praiseindy.com. Yolanda says, was listening to the caller about the workers being rude. They were very rude to me. I worked the majority of my life and fell on hard times. Things happen. Life happens. They look down on you and make you feel bad. Four explanation points. You already feel bad. Great point. And we were talking during the break, Tangi Jackson Nibs, and you're saying one of the things that people make mistakes in terms of the paperwork needed to fill out for energy assistance is you need to see a year's worth of income, a year backward from the time you come in to apply. So what happens if somebody has been in and out of jobs during that period?
Currently, what we tell them to do is to go to Work One and get a wage inquiry printout. Sometimes they may have unemployment as well, and mm-hmm. we'll tell them to get a voucher history inquiry, right, which is their unemployment benefits for that year.
Mm-hmm.
It is unfortunate that sometimes they come with the incorrect information. In the past, we've been able to try to assist them in the best way that we can, but because of the federal guidelines that we have this year, and we definitely need to make sure that we're following the program guidelines, and that's one of the reasons why sometimes they do get sent back to get the correct documentation.
You mentioned guidelines being tightened. Is it fair to say that the Obama administration has tightened guidelines these last 4 years?
I would say yes, definitely.
Is it to stop fraud?
Part of the reason it is, and that's one of the first things why we have them sign the application. Once they sign that application, their benefit really isn't guaranteed until it's been audited mm-hmm. by the state as well as from internal audit. That benefit can be taken away if we find out that there has been fraud. And believe it or not, there have been instances where that has happened even last year and previous years.
Do applicants understand that they are signing a legal document, a federal document, that if you tell a fib, you might end up like Martha Stewart? You're the pain and penalty of perjury.
Yes, we do tell them that, and actually they get a copy of a notification letter that says that, and they sign what they call things to remember. Mm-hmm. It's documentation that tells them it takes anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks for the actual cash to reach their utilities' hands. It also states in there, that I think the first sentence says something similar to the fact that, and I'm just paraphrasing, that your benefit will not be final until it's reviewed and audited. And they have a number that they can call if they want to appeal the process. There are people that do get denied because for one reason or another, usually it's over our income guidelines, or sometimes they don't have all the correct information.
Back to the phones quickly. And Ellen, you got about a minute.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm calling about the Energy Assistance Program.
Yes.
I went down in September on Meridian Street and applied for energy assistance. They gave me a date of January 23rd. Meantime, I received a mail-in packet with the application and all the things that I'm supposed to fax back to them. This I did. I mailed it back in October the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
As of yet, I have not heard from anybody. So I don't know if I should keep my appointment on January 23rd or what. I've gone to the cafe office on 38th and Post Road, and they gave me a phone number to call, and she said she would give her the information, and she would be getting in touch with me, whoever her is.
So you've got an appointment on January the 23rd. You've got no knowledge that they've received your application. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you didn't even get a call from the robot?
No.
Okay. All right, I tell you what, Ellen, I want you to hold on. I want you to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. They'll give it to the folks from Community Action, and someone will get back to you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. That allowed me to talk to Sister Wilson at 239-1310. That's going to be our last caller for the day. Sister Wilson, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm okay. What's up?
Okay, while I was calling, I had received a mail-in package from Community Action also.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it in October. I mailed it in and, you know, sent everything I needed to and sent it in. And then they had sent me a letter back saying they need a copy of my lease. I took that down there last week. And then I received a letter yesterday saying that they done lost all of my information now. So my Social Security number is floating somewhere. My ID is out there floating somewhere. And every time I call, they'll tell me, well, I'm going to call you back within 24 to 72 hours. This has been like two weeks ago.
Hold on. The letter that you got back from Community Action said that they had lost your packet?
They said they needed everything all over again. Everything I already had sent in October, they needed again. I sent the lease last week. They said they need another copy of my lease. I sent that. I'm faxed it in.
Did they acknowledge, the first time that they had gotten your information when they sent you a letter saying, we got your stuff, we need a lease. Is that correct?
Yes.
How y'all explain that one where they sent a letter back saying we're missing a lease, which means somebody had to have gone through the packet and looked at it. How could you, and in the interim, how could you lose the information? Sounds like Sister Wilson did what she was supposed to do. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say.
Hold on.
That is fair to say. I don't know if you, do you have a copy of that letter to saying that we no longer have your information?
It came yesterday.
Came yesterday.
Yeah. And I went down there last week also to take the lease, and they wouldn't receive the lease, so I faxed it in on Friday.
They wouldn't take it?
No.
Why would they not? Where did you drop that off?
I went down to the one on Meridian.
And what reason did they give for saying they weren't going to take the lease and you had it in your hand?
The lease that I had, she said that they couldn't accept it because she said it was an extension or something. But that's all that I had, that my landlord sent me back through the mail, you know, when I renewed my lease.
So it's not that we wouldn't take it. It wasn't a correct lease. It was something in there that said that you had an extension?
Yes. But so, still, when I keep calling them, I kept trying to call them before I went. And they kept telling me, well, I'll call you back within 24 to 48 hours. That's been 2 weeks ago, and I call every day.
And
we'll still haven't returned my
And the
back.
Lease you got from your landlord, is it just like one or two pages that says an extension, or is it like a full nine?
It's just like it's a page.
I see. Well, do you know where your original lease is?
No, I've been here for like 2 years, and I don't know, because I've never needed my lease before.
You should always keep your lease, girl.
We also have a landlord affidavit.
I just don't know where.
Can you get a duplicate from the landlord or from the apartment office or the house office?
I probably can, because they done changed. They got new people in their office now since then.
Ms. Wilson, we can also give you a landlord affidavit to complete. If you haven't, because that takes time for the landlord to give you that copy of that lease. But we do have an affidavit that you can have him or her complete.
You know, a lot of times the apartment complex got the lease in a doggone file drawer.
Okay,
you know?
even if I do that, I'm just worried about, like, now, is where is my Social Security number at? Where is my ID?
Oh, I see. Tipton, I see her point. She's thinking it's lost and somebody done bogarted her stuff.
Well, we'll be able to find her.
So I tell you what I want you to do. Sister Wilson, I want you to hold on. And this is the last piece of work that Chris will do today. If you would give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
I appreciate that.
All right, we know Community Action has a website. The website is?
www.cagi-in.org.
And for ordinary folk that don't have the internet, how do they get a hold of y'all? Is there a particular number, knowing that it's like calling the cable company? We get that. But is there a number where people can call, knowing they might have to wait and listen to the beautiful music?
Yes, 317-396-1800.
396-1800. And expect to wait a little bit.
Yes.
All right, 396-1800. Ed Tipton, the CEO with Community Action of Greater Indianapolis. Cheryl Shelton, Tangi Jackson-Nibbs. Guys, thanks very much. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy Kwanzaa.